Praise the Lord for the service we've had together so far. Let's all turn our Bibles, Psalm chapter 95, the 95th Psalm together tonight. I want to just say again, great job by the children just now. The adults, the workers, all the coaches, the acting, all the different things, the singing. I just want to give them one more hand again to tell them our appreciation for the hard work they put into that. And see, Kane, you got a show tonight. We got dinner coming up. So we got dinner and a show, and Beef and Board says nothing on us. So we can't come to church unless we get into the Word of God together. And I am very aware of the time. And we'll look at this together real quick, get a couple quick truths, and be on with the rest of the service. Someone told me the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and to have those two things as close together as possible. So my wife just told me that during handshake time, so I think I got the hint from that. All right, Psalm 95 is where we're going to be. I'm thankful for the children's ministry here at our church and be able to put on a program like this and do the job that they did. It's not just something that we have to take up time, or not just something that we want to have to be able to offer people to come here and to do something, have that for their kids. We really want this opportunity to teach them what it is to praise God. And as they get an understanding of what it is to praise God, they will be understanding who God is and why He deserves our praise. And I'm just thankful for that ministry that we have. And stay in your place in Psalm 95, but in Psalm 148, it's another psalm of praise. And he's speaking there of praising God and praising God for what He has done for us. And it says, kings of the earth, all people, princes, all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. You know that praise isn't just for the adults. Praise isn't just for the older, for the stronger. It's for each and every one of us as Christians. And we need to make sure we're doing what we can to teach the younger generation who their God is, and knowing who their God is, why they should praise Him. So we're going to be looking in Psalm 95 very quickly together tonight. There in verse 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and God, thank you for the day you've given us. And God, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the program that you're just able to see. And Lord, I'm thankful for our country. And Lord, I know that a program like that, all of the children of the church are greatly aware of the blessings that we have being able to live in America. And I pray that we were reminded of those things as well together tonight. I pray to be with us these next few moments as we're in your word. God, I pray that you just work in our hearts. Lord, use me as your vessel tonight to just make your word maybe more clear, or remind us of something tonight. God, I pray that you just use this. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Here in Psalm 95, we have an invitation to praise. He says there in the beginning of the chapter, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He says, let us come, let us sing, let us be thankful to our God. And he's not just speaking individually. He's speaking all, not just privately, but he's also speaking publicly as a group. And we gather here together in our church, together 3 times a week to worship our God together and to praise his name. And we ought to do it in church. We ought to do it on our own. There's an invitation here to sing, to praise, to worship, to offer thanks. He says there in verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. This isn't just a call for praise, it's a call for worship, for kneeling, for submitting to our God. And can I tell you tonight, he deserves our adoration. He deserves every bit of praise that we could ever give him. David spoke in Psalm 34, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise and worship is not just something that we are to do in church. It's not just something that we are to do once a day. It's something that we are to live.
We need to make sure that we're living our lives in such a way where we are all times aware of God and who he is and praising him and worshiping him as our God. If you need any reason to worship or praise his name tonight, we have reasons here in this chapter. Why does God deserve our praise? Why is it so important that we teach our children to praise God? The first thing we find here is we praise him because of salvation. It says, there make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. I love being able to speak to my son now about salvation and what he's been saved from. Jackson was saved just a little bit over a year ago, and quite often he speaks of that time, and he knows for sure he's going to heaven, and he prays for his friends to be saved, or he wanted to preach a certain passage in Awana just a month and a half ago as a first grader because he wanted his friend to understand it and to be saved. I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful that our children are able to understand those things. Yeah, just yesterday we were watching American Ninja Warrior together, and Jackson is a big fan of that show, and he said, Dad, do you think Drew Dreschel is saved? He's one of the better ninjas on the show. I said, son, I don't know. And I said, why? He goes, because I'd like to meet him someday. And I wish he was more excited about meeting Moses or David or something like that. It's a work in progress there. We have much to praise God for. If it was to just stop right here, knowing that we have a place in heaven, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sins, and because of the blood of Jesus, we're able to spend eternity in heaven with him. What a wonderful thing that is, and we need to praise him for that tonight. You can also not just praise him because of salvation, but praise him because of his power. If you look there in verse 3, he says, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above our all gods. He is sovereign. He's the all-powerful, almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. He deserves our praise for that. It continues to go on there. He is a sustaining God. It said, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. You know, he has this whole world and eternity in view all the time. This world, he has all things under control. He's also the creating God. It says, the sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. He's the creating God. We can praise him because of salvation. We can praise him because of his power. We can also praise him because of the relationship that we can have with him. It says there, if we look in verse 7, it says, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. You know, I'm thankful tonight that he's not just God, he's my God. I'm thankful tonight that he is my God. He's your God. And we get to look to him not just as God in the heavens, but as our Father, as our God. And we're able to have that relationship with him that is something that we should praise him for. He's not just our God, but we are his sheep. We are the people of his pasture. He is watching over us. He is leading us. He is directing us. And that is something also we should praise him for. I'm thankful for his power. I'm thankful for that relationship. You know, the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 41, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He is there to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us each and every step of the way. We should praise him for that. We need to be aware of the greatness of God every day of our life. And if we're aware of it, it should give us enough reason to praise him as we remember those things. Not just be aware of it in our own life, but also something that we need to see the responsibility of in ourselves to teach the younger generation of the greatness of God. The Word of God speaks in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and God is speaking, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You shall talk of them, and thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. He wanted the Word of God to be taught to them at a young age, for them to hold it high, for them to look to it, for them to be led by it, for them to understand the truths of it. We have a responsibility to teach the younger generation about our God and how good he is, for them to know his Word. If we don't teach our children the greatness of God at home or at church, they're not going to learn it through the media. They're not going to learn it through society. They're not going to learn it from the neighbor across the street. We need to make sure we're taking advantage of the opportunity we have doing our job as parents, as leaders, as elders, to teach them the Word, to teach them about the greatness of God. They're not going to learn it unless we do our part. You know, there's a transition here in this passage, and really what I want us to get to tonight. There in verse 8, he's speaking, he says, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, speaking to the children of Israel. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. He's warning them about a hard heart here. We have this transition of speaking of God, who he is, and why we should praise him. And now we see in this passage, he's speaking, harden not your heart. And he's referencing the day of provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. And that provocation was there at Meribah. There was quarreling, there was strife, there was provoking. That temptation was there at Massah. There was testing and temptation there. And those words that are used here were given a name to a place by God. God named a place after those things because of what happened with the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 17. He's speaking of those who escaped Egypt but failed to possess the land of Canaan. And we're not going to look there for time's sake, but in Exodus chapter 17, you'd find that. The pastor preached about it this morning, and we understand what happened with the children of Israel. They escaped bondage from Egypt. God brought the 10 plagues, and as they escaped Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea. And in Exodus chapter 15, after this happened, the people sang a song of praise to God of redemption. They were praising his name. They were worshiping him as the God that delivered them and that was leading them. Exodus chapter 15, 1 through 22, we find them doing that. But then we find in verse 22, a change start to happen, and they became thirsty. And they were there in Marah, and as they were thirsty, they grumbled, they complained, but God still, because he's a loving God and a providing God, made the bitter water sweet for them to drink. They praised God. Shortly after there, if you would look there in that part of the Bible, you'd find that they began to grumble because their stomach began to growl. They were hungry. They said, would to God we have died in the wilderness. Better to be a full slave here, full slave in Egypt, than to be hungry and die here. And they complained again, and God gave them manna and meat there in Exodus 16. Chapter 17, after God had already provided these things, and they're very aware of what they had, 17, they're camped there at Rephidim, and there was no water, and the people began to quarrel with Moses. And we find Moses here in this passage saying, hey, your grumbling is not against me. Your grumbling is against God. And Moses asked them the famous question, is the Lord among us or not? You know, we look at this as Christians, and we tend to maybe be amazed looking at it, why they would act that way and why they would so quickly begin to grumble at God for all he has already done for them instead of trusting what he would do for them. We see miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still would choose to react in that way. They had a hard heart. And can I remind you tonight that all this murmuring, all this complaining, when these things would happen, would go on while they also had a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night? Even though their stomach may have been growling or they may have been thirsty, they still knew that the presence of God was there with them, leading them, guiding them, but they still chose to grumble. He was there providing and leading. But because of the hard heart, they were blinded. After blessings, they praised him. They were thanking him. They were worshiping him. But as soon as the water ran out or as soon as the food was gone, the murmuring began. And we see ungrateful, hardened hearts. There's a contrast we see here in Psalm 95. And the difference is this. In the beginning, we find thankfulness leading to praise and worship. And if that's not there, we find a hardened heart in the wilderness journey. The antidote to a life consisting of a hard heart is when one's thankfulness to God leads to true daily worship. If you don't want the hard heart in your life, if you're in a place like that, the antidote is one's thankfulness to God leading to daily praise and worship. The two don't exist together. When your praise begins to dwindle away, it leaves room for that heart of provocation or that heart of temptation to become hard and to creep in. And before you know it, you are out of fellowship with God. When we worship God and when we praise his name, when we worship him, we are realizing who he is. And as we realize who he is, we realize who we are. We're bowing down to him in adoration and worshiping his name. And it's showing that we have a proper view of God and a proper view of ourselves. You know, Pastor preached on the memorials this morning and reminding ourselves daily of the presence of God, the greatness of God, the provision that God has given us. Reminding ourselves of all those things, having those memorials in our life. And that's what we're trying to do here at Lighthouse Baptist. We want our children's ministries, we want them to understand how great their God is, and in understanding who he is to be able to praise him in song or to be able to testify about their God. We want them to understand that now so they won't find themselves with a hard heart. They aren't too young to praise him. They aren't too young to worship him. We can look in the Word of God and find Old Testament illustration of this. We know David, a young shepherd boy, he remembered God, and as he remembered God and was worshiping him, he was able to defeat that lion. He's able to defeat that bear. He was able to defeat Goliath because he had a proper view of God. He was aware of him. Daniel remembered God when he purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Joseph remembered God when he was there in the dungeon. He remembered God when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. These young people are not too young to know of God and to remember him, to be aware of him in that relationship. You know, I want to remember God every day of my life. I want to wake up knowing my purpose for being on this earth is to praise and worship his name. That's what I want. I want to live a life of praise, and I want that for my children. I want that for the younger generation. I want my children to know God. I want my children to see a real relationship that I have with God. I want my children to see the dependence that their mom and I have in God. I want them to see those things, and I want them to come to church and see people that love God, that are praising God, that are genuinely living for God. That's what I want my kids to see. I want them to be aware of it. I want them to know it's real. I want them to know how important it is to put God first in their life. You know, my Sunday morning tradition, I wake up and I come here and get things ready, and around 8 o'clock I go home, and I'll probably get the kids ready and we leave together and come to church. But whether the kids are awake or in bed, the first thing I always do when I get home is turn some music on. And right now, Charlotte's favorite for the past 6 months has probably been Behold Our God, and she'll play that over and over again and sing it over and over again. I want them to know that we need to sing to our God and praise him. The twins are very fond of Mercy Tree, and they always get to that part, and I hear the twins behind me in the van singing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I don't want my children just to sing the songs that we sing in church. I want them to sing the songs with the knowledge of who their God is and why they need him. I want them to understand a life of praise leads to so much more joy than anything they could ever find in this earth. I want my children to see a real God in my life and to desire for them to live that same life, because a life of daily praise will keep them away from a hardened heart. They say that an apple a day keeps a doctor away, but daily worship keeps the hard heart away. I grew up in a pastor's home, been in church my whole life. And as a teenager, I worked at our church camp every summer. I was around preaching. I saw people saved. Surrendered to preach at the age of 13. I went to Heartland Baptist Bible College wanting to serve God and do what I could for him in the ministry. And I did fine for a few years. But for some reason, as time went on, some bitterness from different things that I had seen or experienced began to creep in. Some hypocrisy, even though it wasn't a lot. Something that I observed, and it affected me, and I began to stop looking towards God and looking towards things for myself. And as the praise stopped, bitterness crept in, and that hard heart eventually took over. Hallie and I were married, and I was far from God, even though we were in church. My heart was not anywhere where it should be, and I wondered what happened. I really didn't have an understanding of it. I just knew I wasn't happy. I knew the joy of the Lord wasn't there as it was before. Long story short, we moved here, and the Lord began to work in my heart again. And I began to praise God again. I began to read my Bible. I began to pray. I began to sing with joy in my heart again for the Lord, and I noticed as the praise grew stronger, the heart grew softer. I noticed as I understood and was aware of my God and the life I need to live for him every day, my heart grew fonder of him, and the more and more joy came to my life. When the praise came back, the bitterness and the hard heart went away. We have these two different sides of this passage tonight, and I just want to ask you a question. What side of the passage are you on? What side of this passage are you on tonight? You just may be in a state right now where you don't feel the joy of the Lord like you used to. Maybe when you come to church, you're still expecting to receive something, but for some reason, you're just not feeling that joy that you should, and you're just not, you don't feel like you're in a close relationship with God, or maybe you're more angry than you used to be. Maybe there's some different things that are getting you down. But remember, the God that we should be worshiping is also the God that can give you strength. And the more you praise Him, the softer your heart will be, and the more you'll be receptive to His word. Maybe you look at your family and there's a lot of arguing. It's a lot of yelling. It's a lot of tension there in the family. You praise God together. Praising God and an awareness of who He is will make a difference. Are you thankful to the God of your salvation? Are you thankful for the sovereign, creating, sustaining God? We need to praise Him. Praise and worship is the antidote for a hard heart. Psalm 71:8, and we'll be done. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Worship Him, praise Him every day of your life. Harden not your heart. Praise God every day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's invitation time. The altar's open. Maybe you're in here tonight and you just feel far from God. Maybe you're going through some things and you wonder why things aren't the way they used to. What side of the passage are you on tonight? Are you aware of your God and who He is? Are you aware of His power? Are you aware and are you remembering what you've been saved from? We have much to praise Him for. Maybe you're looking at this story and the illustration of the Israelites tonight, and maybe you look at that and you say, you know, it's kind of similar to where I'm at right now. I know I have so much from God, but I find myself grumbling. I find myself complaining. You need to get away from the hard heart and get back to daily praise and worship. Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the service we had together. I pray that you just work in this invitation. We ask this in your name.